Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 1 John is a richly profound and richly composed letter written by John the Apostle. John the Apostle writes, not just as a teacher or as a leader of the church, John writes and speaks to the church as a loving father speaks to children. He even calls them my little children and encourages them towards maturity in faith. He instructs them in how faithful children of God walk or live in the world. Chapter 4 of this letter begins by giving us to consider what it means to walk in the Spirit of God, also called the Spirit of Truth. John writes, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world. Walking in the Spirit, walking in the truth, requires testing, and it requires discernment. There are many spirits in the world. There are angels, and there are devils. Every human being has his own spirit. Over them all, there is the Holy Spirit, and there is the spirit of the Antichrist. These spirits testify to things, to move your heart, to direct you. And this is the great comfort we have through knowledge of the gospel. Your own spirit may at times tell you that God hates you. Your spirit may tell you that God knows your sin, that there is no excuse for you and God will not forgive. Your heart may tell you this, but the Spirit of God is greater than your heart. When your spirit says you are condemned, the Spirit of God says, I forgive you all your sins. And he is the spirit you must listen to. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. This does not mean that you always trust the messenger. On the contrary, you trust the message. The content of the message will tell you if the messenger speaks from God or not. Paul says in Galatians, if we or an angel from heaven preaches to you a gospel, a message contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. Even an angel from heaven, if he brings you a message different from the word of God that has already been revealed to you. The Spirit is not from God. The angel speaks from a different spirit. And on the other hand, if the devil himself brings a message that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, that message is from God. And you should believe it. Not because of the devil, but because of God. That does not mean that if a spirit says Jesus has come in the flesh, that you can trust everything else that comes from the person. You always test the spirit from whence the message comes. Sometimes our own spirit testifies with God. In that case, listen. Other times, our own spirit, still tainted with sin, testifies against God. When that happens, don't listen. John writes here that there are two spirits that inform all other spirits, the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the Antichrist, the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. There is no middle ground, no third spiritual source of teaching. There is sound doctrine and there is false doctrine. If the Spirit speaks sound doctrine, it is from God and meant for God's children to encourage, to comfort, to heal, to rebuke, to correct. If the Spirit speaks false doctrine, it is from the Antichrist and is for the children of the world. An example from Scripture. In Matthew chapter 16, Peter confesses with his lips Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, and is commended by Jesus for it. Jesus said to Peter, "Blessed are you, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Peter confessed the truth about Jesus, that the man standing before him in the flesh is the Son of God and the Christ. And Jesus says that knowledge and that confession of the truth came not from the world, but from God, the Father in heaven. And one might then conclude that since Peter confessed the true teaching from God at this one point, all other words that come from him will be trustworthy and from the Spirit of truth. However, only a few verses later, in the very same chapter, Jesus says more of himself. He said to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. When he said this, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Just because Peter confessed rightly at one point does not mean he is infallible, or that another spirit might not come to his lips later. In Peter's own false confession against what Christ must do, his spirit was speaking according to a different one, the spirit of Antichrist. Jesus then says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Even though Peter had just confessed the truth about Jesus moments before, Satan, the evil spirit, was the source of Peter's words. Only a little time later. And so always be mindful of the existence of spirits, and do not fail to discern them and rebuke false spirits. There is a famous example in the history of our own Lutheran Church of this. At what was called the Marburg Colloquy on October 1st, 1529, there was a chance for all the churches of the Reformation to walk together in unity and stand against the Pope and the Roman Catholic abuses of God's church and doctrine. Martin Luther and Ulrich Zwingli, representatives of different churches of the Reformation, agreed on 14 of the 15 articles of faith that were put before them. 14 out of 15. They disagreed on only one, the teaching of the Lord's Supper. Luther argued it is Jesus' true body and blood. Zwingli argued the bread and the wine are merely symbols. Zwingli was content to agree to disagree, but Luther refused fellowship, concluding famously with the following words, "Your spirit and our spirit cannot go together. Indeed, it is quite obvious that we do not have the same spirit." Luther was right to go against the spirit that says we can agree to disagree about the words of Christ. This is my body, this is my blood, and still commune together. Christ said, this is my body, and this is my blood. And Christ's spirit is from God. The spirit that denies the plain words of Christ is anti-Christ, against Christ, a different spirit and must be rebuked and condemned, marked and avoided. John continues, little children, you are from God and have, you are from God, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. The Spirit who is in us is none other than the Holy Spirit, who was poured out upon us in baptism. This is why we are called saints of God, holy people. This is why we are called children of God, through the inheritance of the Spirit of truth. And you can see what is of God and what is of the world, not because His Spirit speaks to you directly, but because His Spirit causes you to believe the words of God, the commands of Christ, the word of life that you have heard and have believed. And you have this sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. As the scriptures say, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And the intention of your heart is love that issues from a pure spirit. John writes that anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar, because the Holy Spirit makes the love of God known to us in this, that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. No one has ever seen God, no one. But if we love one another, we rightly discern the Spirit of God. He abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And on account of this love we have for the brothers, which is how we love God, we have confidence for the day of judgment. Who can bear to stand before a God whom he has hated? But we love one another, because God has first loved us. And by loving one another, we love God. To know the love of the Father whom we have not seen, that is the faith by which we are saved, through Christ, in the Spirit of God, who is our guarantee of eternal life, and who, while we still walk in this world, teaches us to love one another and will guide us in all truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which is ours through his Spirit, keep your hearts and your minds on Christ Jesus. Please turn now to the section of the Small Catechism, page 325, should be your third ribbon, and we will speak responsively the teaching on the sacrament of holy baptism. 325, halfway down the first column.